You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio.
Could it finally happen? Aaron Rodgers to the Jets?
The Packers Twitterverse is replete with passionate guesswork.
How would Goody build a team with Love instead of Rodgers?
And we reminisce about the offseason of Favre.
Four quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's time for some Packers news, fun, and frivolity here on Cheesehead Radio. As usual, our illustrious hosts tonight are C.D. Angeli of Packers Talk, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter, Kelly Hodson of Cheesehead Radio, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Please support our longtime friends at Ticket King, the official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all of the Packers Talk podcasts. Ticket King is a long-standing Wisconsin business with offices in Green Bay and Milwaukee. So if you need Bucks, Brewers, concert tickets, or whatever, visit their website today at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. And please tell them we sent you. That's it for preliminaries. Let's get this show started.
Right, we are complete with the preliminaries, and we are back here on Cheesehead Radio. It's been a long time. It's been a long break. Who are you two people?
Been a long time. Oh, sorry.
I don't know why.
I have no idea.
I'm a fool.
She's just saying that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm being
nice.
She
doesn't mean it at all.
Hey, these are the luminaries with the preliminaries, so I'm just being
preliminaries, or whatever I said. I don't know.
The full preliminary. Anyway.
I started talking too fast.
Yes. Well,
that's usually my job.
Second glass of wine for the night, though. So anyway,
we've
not recorded a show for a little while, and for the reason is our last show was all about speculation about what might happen with Aaron Rodgers, and guess what? Nothing has really changed throughout the last 6 weeks, but just recently, things have really heated up. Suddenly, we are getting the Twitterverse hitting us every couple of seconds with another major news bomb, which may or may not be true, but it's starting to look like it's possible Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers may be parting ways this offseason.
This has been like the long goodbye. It's like, just poop or get off the pot. I'm so sick of waiting. Let's just get it over with.
Well, obviously the fact that the Jets are being so proactive with this kind of makes you feel like, you know, this might actually happen, which wasn't really sure was possible, you know, a few days ago. But for them to pile everybody into a plane and go out to Malibu, I guess, where he lives, and meet up with him and then stay over and meeting again today. And I don't know, I haven't heard any further reports from the Schefters or the Rappaports of the world. So don't know where that stands, but it certainly looks pretty serious, wouldn't you say?
But didn't Cheesehead TV's own Aaron Nagler be one of the first to break this?
Yeah, well, he was one of the first to say that Rodgers was in New York on Monday,
right.
I believe. I believe that's what it was. And then a whole bunch of other stuff happened.
Yeah, and if I'm correct, I believe I read that the team president, the owner, the president, the GM, the head coach, like everyone is on this plane.
And Hackett.
And
Rodgers' buddy, which is the big thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them are there. All of them are on the plane, including the little worm on the hook there saying, hey, come on over. I mean, this is, you don't send that contingent on a plane across the country if you just have a passing interest, but you could probably pass on it.
Yeah,
the drama is reminiscent, even though we didn't trade him at the time, of sending the entire entourage down to Hattiesburg to see Favre.
True.
Yeah, this seems like the same type of drama, but you're absolutely right. I don't think it would just be a looky-loo if it was
looky-loo
that many people involved. Like, I think we're further along in negotiations than I think people are letting on, if that many of the higher-ups are part of the process already.
Yeah, well, certainly the Packers and the Jets have talked about parameters for a possible trade. Like you said, there's no way any of this, what happened yesterday and today, happens if that hadn't been done first. And having done that, they also had to give permission, obviously, to the Jets and for Rodgers to be talking. So this is moving along fairly quickly here.
Now, obviously, with Twitter and everyone going off, you really don't know what you're reading. If it's true, if it's someone just trolling, if it's someone just looking for attention. I mean, it's bad enough we probably got media people reporting stuff that they've heard from a source, which is really someone who heard something from someone else, etc. But obviously we have just the other people who just put NFL in their username and say, I've heard this rumor, and we're all like, oh, really?
No, so we're all not like that, but yes, a lot of people gullible.
Yes, and it's just going on, you know, and it is a slight difference from 2008. There is this not highly vocal, but fairly vocal group of very pro-Jordan Love people who are like, yeah, let's go. And then there's this, you know, smaller group of very pro-Rodgers people, but it's nowhere near the vitriol we had in 2008. But as you look at these polls, sometimes people out, you know, are you guys ready to move on? Jordan versus Aaron. You know, people, I think, are just kind of ready. I mean, people have kind of accepted it much more than, say, perhaps 15 years ago.
I think there was anger when Favre got traded. In fact, I was one of them. And it's like, who is this Rodgers dude? We're going to suck. I remember saying that to my friend across the hall in our offices. And he's like, yeah, so.
So you thought we were going to go to the toilet bowl, too?
I was on that. Yeah, I was on
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was like, why I would willing to cut Rodgers off at the knees to get another year of Favre at that time.
Well, I would not have liked having a conversation.
However, within a year, I couldn't stand Favre, so I was okay with it. This time around, I think I've been so exasperated with Rodgers and his phoning it in for the past year and a half, 2 years, that I'm just ready to, like I said before, let's rip the Band-Aid off and be done with it. I'm exhausted with the drama. I just want to move on, whether it's Jordan Love or somebody else. I think we're just ready for the post-Rodgers era, and I'm totally fine. I'm not angry. I'm not like as emotional as I was when it was Favre. He just needs to go.
Okay. A, if he's been phoning it in for the last 1 to 2 years, remember 2 years ago he did win an MVP. So it's pretty good if you can phone it in and win an MVP.
Okay. Past year. All right. I'm stretching it out. All right.
But more importantly, I think it's important to know that this is a guy who can. I mean, yes, he's, you know, given us some retirement shade, just maybe to put it out there, like, you know, I could retire. Yeah. But this isn't like the retirement conversation that happened year after year after year back in the noughts. This is a guy who can still play. And it's interesting to see, quite honestly, this large of a contingent who's been this attached to a quarterback whom, honestly, we had to sort of rally around, if you remember, early in his career, because there was so much vitriol directed at him from the Favre fans that, you know, when he finally won that Super Bowl, I mean, we were just like, we are Aaron Rodgers team number one, you know. And
oh, Facebook is full of that.
If exactly. You don't want So just the idea that Packer fans in general are ready to move on, and even the organization is ready to move on. What do you guys think that just signifies? I mean, why is the fan base like this? Because I know there are fans from other teams are looking at us going, what is wrong with you people? So what is wrong with us people?
I think part of it has to do with how much Aaron Rodgers has to say. You know, going back to when Jordan Love was drafted and that whole offseason and, you know, coming back at the very end and having at the very last minute and having that press conference where he scathingly, you know, ripped apart everybody on the Packers in a nice way, but he was ripping everybody apart on the Packers. And then the other off seasons and then the McAfee show. And now this year with the darkness retreat and I'm still MVP caliber. And he just has a lot to say. You know, and I think that's what a lot of people are tired of. I mean, yes, Favre would threaten to retire, but then he'd go down to Mississippi and, you know, drive his tractor, and you really wouldn't hear much about him. He wasn't in the constantly in the media like Rodgers has been. And sure, it's a slightly it's a different media landscape now, but you didn't hear that. With Rodgers, it's just nonstop. I mean, you could do a whole reality show, you know, on a daily basis, a one-hour reality show every day on Aaron Rodgers. And there's just overload, you know. I'm overloaded. I have nothing against the guy, but I'm overloaded. You know, I want it to stop one way or the other.
Wow.
And I think some of the difference is in 2008, it was vitriol towards the organization. How dare you get rid of Favre? The feeling I get this time around is vitriol from Rodgers at the organization. So it has a different vibe to it. It's like Favre, I think, if he was allowed, would have hung on another year. But it almost seems like we were divorcing Favre. It's like this time I feel like we just have to kick the dysfunctional uncle out of the room because he's now just crapping on the organization with his little side eye comments.
Thank you for finishing your sentence for us.
No problem. Thank you. But it just seems
the struggle
like the
is real.
Yeah, it is totally real. It has been a day. But no, it's,
I could tell.
Both of them at the end of their tenure in Green Bay, it was like all about me, not about team. And last year, I could let a lot of Rodgers being Rodgers last year because he was still very much team-centric. This year, I didn't get the sense of being team-centric. Yeah, he was great to Randall Cobb, but it all became all about Rodgers. And all of the off-season and all of the in-between games was all about Rodgers. We've talked about him all the time. And it just feels different this time than 2008 when we're parting company with a quarterback. It's like, I think this time the fan base is okay. It's time to move on because I think everyone's getting sick of his dog and pony show.
There is a guy on Twitter today, and his username was something like Rodgers Defender, you know.
Oh, I've seen him.
Ultimate Fan 101, whatever.
And I've just seen this guy.
Yeah, and his tweet today was, you know, we should just take Aaron Rodgers and tell him you're back on the team, and he'll just take a pay cut. And then he'll just tell Gutekunst which players he wants the Packers to keep, and everything will be fine. And I was like,
what world does that guy live in?
What?
I saw that.
But this is really like, it's almost like what Kelly's saying. This is kind of like what Aaron Rodgers wants. It's like this whole thing. Yeah, sure. The only problem is that he's not going to take a pay cut, but he'll be happy to tell us which players to keep.
Hey, he's not Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
And that was another
I'm talking about pay cuts.
Exactly.
What Tom Brady did over the years, he was team first all the time.
And I get the sense that Rodgers your team first. And that's the big difference this year than 2008.
So the deal earlier this weekend in which David Carr, the wayward quarterback of the Raiders, who was unceremoniously benched and about to be ejected, signed a deal with the Saints, a pretty profitable. I remember the contract details.
I think it was $40 million a year.
More than he's worth.
So, I mean, right now you're kind of down to Aaron Rodgers. I think Lamar Jackson, also from Baltimore, might be rumored to be on the trading block. But that really did kind of accelerate.
Well, they gave him the tag. They gave him
right.
Which
is
still happen.
Tag and trade, which we did with Devontae. But you know, this has kind of accelerated things into motion a little more quickly. When you don't have David Carr on the market, this seems to have put things a little faster. So maybe it's a little impetus for Rodgers, a little impetus for the Packers, impetus for the Jets. But it is weird that it's March, right? I mean, when Reggie White used to make his retirement announcements, those were in January. And a lot of times, actually, Favre used to make his announcements like February. We're in March, and we're still trying to figure this out. And I think that's part of it, too. It's just taking so damn long.
Yeah, well, Rodgers had a lot to do, you know?
Like, you know, shit or get off the pot here, people. What are we going to do this year?
So, Chris Burke pointed out last year when Rodgers was waffling last year, it was March 8th that he decided he was coming back. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's March 8th. So there's your high water mark for him.
Today
so
is March 8th. It has been a bad day,
It has been one of those days. when you go to work and you get home and you're like, wow, it's 7 o'clock. How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, I think, is it Sunday that like the legal tampering period starts? I believe it's Sunday.
I think it is. It's either this week or next week.
Oh, no, it's definitely this week. I'm just not sure of the day. It might be something because the new league year starts next week. Starts on the 15th,
yeah.
A week from tonight. So, yeah, I think Sunday the 12th is when the legal tampering period starts. So, really, we should know something in the next 3 days.
Do you think, so this is a totally out there question.
From
the
you?
Raiders. Yeah. The Raiders are the number 7 pick in the draft. Do you think they'll make a move for Lamar or Rodgers, or do you think they're just going to try to hope for the best with number 7?
I think they're going to hope to draft somebody.
But they don't even have someone.
I wish they were interested in Rodgers because I'd rather have the number 7 pick for sure.
Because the Jets are what, 13?
Yeah.
Ish. Okay.
Two in front of the Packers. But they've, I mean, since the whole, you know, we've gone through stages here. Where 1 week this was going to happen. Next week this other thing was going to happen. There was 1 week when it was going to the Raiders, you know. And since that time, they come out and said that they're looking more long term. You know, they don't think that their team is ready to compete right away, which is a fair
smart
thing.
Smart.
Yeah, smart if that's the case. I don't, you know, I'm no expert on the Raiders, but so I think that's the way they're going to go, is look to draft somebody. They may try to move up a little bit, being afraid that they may not get their quarterback that they want in the draft. But so I think they are out of it personally. The Saints, I don't think, was ever in, so I don't think that really affected the Packers situation. It's not like, oh, we took more leverage out there by another team. I don't think they were ever interested. So it's really, like we said, come down to one possibility. And
so
if it doesn't work out with the Jets, we're going to have an awful mess here, aren't we?
So what do you think they'll get? Just a first round? Or do you think you get a first and maybe a second next year something next year?
Everybody is so there. You got two completely different schools of thought, you know, like, oh, he's a two recent MVPs. He should get a first this year, a first next year, and a couple of conditional seconds. And then you got the other side are like, you know, he's at the end of his road, at the road here. How much are you going to give away for a quarterback like that? You know,
with a reconstructed knee and a bolted together clavicle.
The gist of it is, I have no idea. I cannot give you a good guess as to what the market is or what someone would be willing to pay. I do think that the Jets would probably pay more than other teams would. That's the type of owner that they have. And they all feel like they're on the cusp of being really good, and the only thing missing is a quarterback. So I think that helps the Packers. But, you know, what it ends up being, I sincerely hope they get the Jets' first-round pick and, you know, hopefully something else. But
and that might be what's holding it up, is negotiating for first-round and then what?
Yeah. I mean, if all they got was the first-round pick, I'd be okay.
Yeah,
I think
part of it too is, you know, they do have the ability then to negotiate with Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, the Packers are going to pick up a huge cap hit if he's traded. What is it, 40 million or 60 million?
I think 41 million.
$41 million. The reality is, guys, if we try to do this next year, it's going to be worse.
Yeah, much worse.
He needs to go this year.
I said he should have gone last offseason, but everyone said, oh, no, he's a two-time MVP. Anyway.
I didn't say that.
Well, someone said it. But anyway.
Not me.
Lots of people did.
I'll make up a straw man. Someone said it.
Can we blame Ray Hoare?
But here's the thing. You know, we're going to pick up this $40 million regardless. And that's going to cause a lot of strife. And obviously, this is going to become a cap-killing year if it happens. And that'll kind of segue into the second quarter. But it is possible for the Jets to then receive this guy. And they can renegotiate a contract. They can give him an extension. They can do something with him to make it more palatable for them. If he's agreeable to that, they might be able to give up more. If they want, you know, because they're probably saying, oh, for a really big salary, we don't want to give up all our draft choice. Well, if he's willing to negotiate, that might make it a win-win-win for everybody. I think what you're going to see is a first-round draft pick for this year, and I think what you're going to see is a conditional pick for next year if the Jets win the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers and he starts all the games, yada, yada, yada. It'll be a second first. If they don't make the playoffs, it's a second. If they don't make the playoffs, it's a third. It's going to be one of those types of things. So that's what I'm, that's my expectation.
That would be reasonable.
Yes. So that will be the end of the first quarter. Well done, everybody. Now we'll move on to the second quarter, which will just be more Aaron Rodgers. But I think it is important to talk a little bit about what's happened with the team since we last spoke and how this could affect Brian Gutekunst moving forward. Now, we have several players, one of whom I want to talk about specifically, who have now restructured their contracts. And we talked about this a little bit, that some of these players we weren't expecting to be on the team. Preston Smith was a guy we had kind of looked at earlier and said, meh, he might be gone. Aaron Jones, eh, he might be gone. Suddenly, Jair Alexander, Preston Smith, Aaron Jones, Kenny Clark, all restructured contracts, and they are going to be really hard to take off this team now next year for salary cap acceleration purposes.
I think we all underestimated the willingness of the Packers to go there and to just keep piling on and piling on in future years.
Yes.
So that's kind of why we thought those people would have to leave, because that's what a reasonable person might think, you know, that, well, we're just going to have to bite the bullet and Aaron Jones, as much as we love him, is just going to have to go. But, you know, he helped out by taking a $5 million pay cut, and then they did a restructure. Yeah,
that's the guy I want to talk about, because that just...
Sorry,
that,
go ahead.
That bugs me. Bugs you? That bothers me.
Okay, tell us why.
The guy, when there's a guy making $60 million and he is literally the one who has all these cards, and Tom Brady would take a pay cut to make a better team and he's not doing it, but then literally the nicest guy, the one of the most productive runners in Green Bay Packers history, the guy whose career has literally been stunted because we refuse to hand him the ball because someone audibles out of every play to make sure to keep passing, he's just taking a cut. He's literally saying, yeah, I'll just go without that $5 million. Thanks. What?
But, we need to have him. If we don't have Rodgers on the team, you're going to have to rely heavily on the run game, especially if it is Jordan Love still trying to find his groove within the team.
Yeah, and the thing about the Aaron Jones situation is he really didn't have any better options or leverage, really, right? If the Packers say, you know, sorry, Aaron, we love you, but we just can't do this. We're going to release you. He's not getting the kind of money that he ended up getting, even with the pay cut, from any other team out there at his age. It just wasn't going to happen. No one was going to pay him what the Packers are now paying him, even with that $5 million pay cut. So Aaron Jones and his agent sat down and said, you know what? This sucks, but it's still better than what's out there for you. So take it. And I think that's what happened.
It can still annoy me.
Oh, absolutely.
It can still annoy me.
Absolutely. You are correct to be annoyed.
I feel great. If he wants to take a $5 million pay cut and Aaron Rodgers takes a $10 million pay cut, I'm feeling really good about stuff today, right?
Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
I know.
It's not going to happen for you.
Not.
So all these players, once again, and far be it for me, we're kicking the can. And it no longer...
I'm really shocked that you haven't come up with a sound effect yet. The kick. So every time you say it, it plays the sound of a can being kicked.
I'm just going to put one in the post-production.
I'm just shocked. Just
I have a meme anyway that I use every time he mentions it.
I know
on
you
Twitter.
Do. But here's the thing. Yeah. As a guy who's constantly been decrying this and saying, oh my gosh, what are you doing to the future of this franchise? Gutekunst did this. And yes, there was this moment where I went like, oh, and then I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean, at this point,
not my money. So
at this point,
what's the difference?
We're already paying. What is it? 10 million, 9 million this year.
$1 billion
in just dead space of contracts for players who are no longer here that we just said, we're just going to pay them more money after the contract's up. It's already $9 million this year. Now it's getting worse for next year and worse for the year after that. And now I'm just kind of like, well, you may as well just keep Rodgers another year because, I mean, the window is literally open a crack right now. You can't even feel a breeze through it. But, yep, that window's open. Let's just keep doing the Dan Snyder approach. Life is grand. I don't get it.
Now, with these restructures, it tells me they're investing in their core parts of the defense and what they're kind of hinging a lot of their offense on this coming year. Like I said a few minutes ago, we're going to have a somewhat untested quarterback heading into his first full season. He needs the best things around him. And that includes a solid running back, because if Jones can establish the run, that gives Jordan Love a lot of breathing room to develop.
You are eternal optimist.
Well, what else is it going to be? It's like we don't really have a huge receiving core at the moment. So, and like I said, Love's untested. We can score points with Aaron Jones. That's not a question. So, yeah, keep him.
And that becomes more likely if you have a quarterback that will give him the ball.
Yeah. He could have a lights-out season.
Could throw that in there, too.
So they're investing in the future offensive scheme, and they're trying to maintain their core defensive players. I can see why they're doing it. You know, in the numbers, it doesn't make sense, you know, kicking it down the road. But I can see why they invested in these specific players, though.
I don't think there's any doubt of that. But, you know, and this is my pretty rare, but it is my pessimistic point of view. The talent we had on the team this year gave us a sub-500 season. Now we're going to take Aaron Rodgers away, and now we're investing money in these players for whom we're not even going to make the playoffs with. Assuming, I mean, what are we hoping for? All the rookies are going to have major jumps their second season. We're going to draft rookies who are all ready to step in their first year and be Pro Bowlers. You know, this team, I just don't know if it's really going to be capable of competing for a Super Bowl. If Aaron Rodgers is still on the team, that's the goal. Well, if Jordan Love is here, is that really the goal? Is the goal to make the Super Bowl with Jordan Love this year?
No.
The goal is always to make the Super Bowl.
I know, but
this is definitely a development.
With a Jordan Love as the quarterback, maybe you have a quarterback who's not throwing it up for Jesus on third and two. And is just, you know, completing a nice little five-yard pass and keeping the sticks moving, and actually the offense actually starts to flow. That's a possibility.
I hate to liken it to an old school West Coast offense, but maybe we need to get back to very simple passes. We don't need the circus throw.
Well, and I
5 to 7 yards each time it will sufficiently move the ball down the field.
And I really like Jordan Love's. I mean, when you look at all of his passes this year, I mean, he's got a really, really nice swing of his arm. I think he's very accurate up to probably about 15 yards. Which I think is typical for most quarterbacks who are not named Favre or Rodgers. That's typically what you look for, especially in a young quarterback. I think it's great. I just think this year is probably supposed to be our 2005. It's supposed to be our cap clearing year. We're supposed to be throwing balls to guys named Taco and handing off to guys named Sam Khan. And then you're rebuilding a team with all of this draft capital you're hoping to get in return. So I still don't quite understand the approach, especially now that you have David Bakhtiari and possibly Rashawn Gary, both great, great players, very important players. But again, these are guys that were just shoving more money
and past both their contract. Right, but, and both have dead knees.
Yes.
I would not be surprised if they don't extend Bakhtiari. If they can get a tackle they can draft and develop, I could see Bakhtiari being phased out eventually.
What define eventually?
In the next year.
Now, he's definitely going to be back on the Packers this year.
Yeah, yes. But I don't think we're going to look at some monster extension. Isn't there a ton of dead cap space for him already?
Well, no, they wouldn't look for an extension. They'd look to restructure.
Restructure.
Yeah.
Move more into a signing bonus.
Right.
Pay him more this year if they can afford it.
Add some void years.
Add the void, yep, and push the void years out so that he's getting paid after he's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. So... I guess.
I think honestly, I think he'll be the odd man out.
I don't at all.
No, I disagree completely.
Oh,
he's way too valuable. No, I disagree more.
No, I disagree.
Oh,
fight me, gentlemen.
But I think what's important though is, are we seeing a difference? Because again, as you just said, Jerzy, if we're being a rational human being, we would probably have a different approach with Jordan Love as quarterback than we would with Aaron Rodgers. But it seems like we're just still going back to the same Dan Snyder-ish game plan of let's just keep paying people more and more and more and having all of that money in those top, 5, 6, 7 salaries, which means you're filling your roster with undrafted free agents and, you know, yeah, who else can you bring in? You gotta fit it under the cap.
I mean, for a bunch of rookies.
Yeah, the other thing, if we're going to talk cap, is the whole idea that the cap is going to go up significantly in the next few years. And, you know, they're counting on that.
But so is the salary, though.
They're counting on that. That's going to make more room for them, even if salaries do go up. It doesn't necessarily going to be an equal, you know, go up equally. So that's one thing they're counting on. I'm not saying that I approve or I like the idea, but just getting that fact out there into the ether.
But this is definitely a signature of the Gutekunst. Gutekunst, I can never say his name right.
Goody.
Goody era of kind of playing with funny money that eventually it comes all due later. And this could either have great dividends now, we were all in and we won. But when they don't win and they go and have 5 wins or 4 wins a year, suddenly we're paying dead money for years to come. So it's either going to be fabulous or it's going to just tank immensely.
Well, and to conclude the second quarter here, according to Ken Ingles' latest salary cap projections, we presently have an effective total cap right now. Once we finish all of our other things, including the draft, including Yash Nyman, including extending Gary, even if we trade Rodgers, yada, 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 we have an effective total cap right now of minus $8.6 million. So we still have to make more moves. You know,
we still have to sign rookies.
That's it. That's the draft and then everyone else. Yeah. So it's a difficult thing, and I hate it to a degree when Gutekunst goes out and makes all these big moves. Is, oh, look, we just did this with Jair Alexander, and all the people on Twitter go, see, the salary cap doesn't exist. It does, guys, and we're all going to end up.
And then I've seen it floating out there that Mason Crosby may come back. Is that substantiated or not?
Just some comments about that Goody made at the combine? Yeah, the combine. And he was just saying that he thinks, people interpreted it that way. He said he complimented him. He said that he thinks he'll come back this year with a stronger leg, that he had that injury at the end of the training camp or preseason that bothered him the whole year, blah, blah, blah. So he was saying that. He didn't come out and say, I'm bringing him back.
Yeah, he could just be saying I'm bringing him in for competition.
Pretty much everybody interpreted it that way. Like, he's coming back, he's coming back. And, you know, maybe. It'll happen, but what he said.
But if you look at everybody we listed of, hey, we need to get rid of, like $50 million, they've kept them all, or pretty almost much. All of them.
The good news is that if Mason Crosby does stay, he's also agreed to take a $5 million pay cut. However, he only made $4 million last year, yes. So he will actually pay the Packers $1 million. Yes.
Thank you, Mason. On the cap.
Just get more players to say, "Hey, who needs this $5 million?
Yeah,
I'll pay you to stay.
Who else is going to pay you, Mason? You may as well just work for us for free. Anyway, that will be the end.
There are fans that think that, though.
I know this will be the end of the second quarter. Good job, everyone. Good job all around. Cheers. And that'll take us to halftime. We'll step into the locker room. Enjoy this message from Ticket King.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
All right, we are back. GZ Radio, it's our March show. Hopefully not our last March show, but it's definitely our first March show. I am CD Angeli, surrounded, flanked by Jersey Albracco and Kelly Hodgson. As we kind of hoped when we were going to record the show, we'd have some real actual news about Aaron Rodgers, but it's still just, oh my gosh. Maybe that'll be next week. But as we go into this, I thought I'd open up the can since all of us are a little bit on the mature side. Most of us have pretty good memories about.
I am the youngest, by the way.
Yes, and you're old. but all of us were obviously of age enough to have seen Brett Favre's entire career in Green Bay. and to also understand what life was like before Brett Favre. So when this happened in 2008, following the 2007 season, following the terrible interception against the Giants in the playoffs that would have possibly taken us to a Super Bowl, we just had this horrible, horrible thing that just unraveled. And we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but I thought we'd just go back in time a little bit and just try to see what are some similarities and what are some differences between 2008 and obviously what's may well be turning into 2023, a very equivalent off season. So let me just throw it around the horn here. What's the same? What's the same feeling that you're getting today from 2008?
I think this time around, there's more apathy. I think a lot of...
This would be a difference.
This would be a huge difference.
Yes, but
because in 2000...
Yes, what's the same?
Oh, the same. Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. You have to go in order, Kelly.
Sorry. There's rules.
Teacher said you got to go in order.
Thanks, Al. The same.
One
there's
demerit.
This definite sense of deja vu that MVP quarterbacks get sent to Jersey to die.
a lot of things get sent to Jersey to
die. Exactly.
That's all I'm going to say.
You got the reference. Thanks. Who may or may not be. Yeah. It seems oddly familiar. And maybe that's why it's different at the same time, because there was a lot of heated emotions when Favre got sent. Everybody wanted him to come back for one more season. They had just one more chance. Let's be all in one more time. And then when he got sent packing, there was this vitriol aimed at Rodgers. It's like it was really heated emotions. And there's heated emotions this time. And I think it's more different than it is the same this time. And I'll hit on that in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to see if Rodgers gets traded to the Jets, you're not going to see protests outside of Lambeau Field.
No.
You're not going to be people burning their jerseys out there. I don't think you're going to see a bunch of Rodgers Jets uniforms, jerseys in Lambeau Field like you did with Favre. So what you were talking about before, the vitriol, I don't think that is going to be there. I think as we kind of touched on before as well, people are just tired and just will accept that, okay, whatever. Let's just put it in the past and let's see what happens in 2023.
I think one thing, because I'll actually answer the question, one thing that I find the same.
All right, snarky.
See, Al went, what's different?
Notice I know.
Al didn't follow the rules.
Because that's what you ended on, Kelly. So
yeah,
I just continued with that. That's
exactly.
All.
Okay, then.
So it's your fault.
So what's the same?
Blame Kelly.
Is hubris.
What's the same is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes. Well, I think it's hubris. And I think that's the part that I find
that's the perfect
unsettling.
Word for this, I think.
It is. I mean, these are guys that we put on pedestals who had a charm and affability. I mean, these guys could go on any commercial and sell you anything. I mean, I remember looking at him doing a Gandrud commercial. Was it not Gandrud? What was the car company he used to do? Aaron Rodgers did? I can't remember.
Bergstrom, wasn't it?
Bergstrom, yes. Bergstrom. And he would just look at you so earnestly. I was like, come to Bergstrom. They're going to treat you right there. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go buy a car. I got to go buy a car right now.
More, it was the Prevea commercial. It's like, you trust me with your health care until he started giving you wacky health care advice. And
exactly.
They like a stone.
So trust me with your health care. That's ironic.
Exactly. They dropped him like a stone as soon as he started popping off at the mouth.
I don't know about these, you know, Wisconsin commercials, obviously. So I find that pretty funny.
Let's just say they went with Matt Lawrence.
Yeah. So my point is they had this veneer. They had this legendary status. I mean, these guys were all going to be remembered in the same stroke as Bart Starr. You know what I mean? Which I know you, Jersey, have talked about as just being the consummate, good-hearted, professional, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, Rodgers and Favre both had that at one point in time.
That was the comparison, right?
Then Favre just kind of came apart. Remember all the things, you know, real Packer fans aren't going to care where I go, and Corey Behnke getting angry and yelling at a camera. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers just kind
forgot
of...
forgot about that.
Yeah, and now Aaron Rodgers is just... kind of like you said, we're just tired of listening to him talk. You know, it's just this level of arrogance, like, well, yes, of course Packer fans will want me back.
Yes, and the Packers will do whatever I like. They will.
I know.
They will go out and get the players that I want.
Yes, I want Randy Moss.
Control the offense.
I want Randall Cobb. It's like,
yeah, that's what it's come to, and that's what I think a lot of people, including myself, are tired of.
Well, and I think
it's a lot more me than it is team.
It's that similarity, though, that I think for so many of us Packer fans is that touch of PTSD that. We fell for that hook, line, and sinker in 2008. It's like, we know Brett Favre. We know the first name of every member of his family. We know his dad's name and mom's name and sister's name and the one that's in jail. And we know all of his kids and his wife. You know, I mean, he was ours. And now, you know, we kind of had that feeling with Aaron Rodgers too. Like, he was ours. And now it's kind of like.
Put it this way. They both became something that they weren't. Mm-hmm. For many years in Green Bay in different ways, but they both changed dramatically as people and as how others perceive them over the years.
Yes, absolutely.
And the thing with it's like with Favre, it's like, oh, did you kind of become the villain? And then Rodgers was at the beginning of his career, I'm never going to be like him. I'm going to be nice to the guys below me. And he kind of made himself the villain at the end, too. So the lesson of the story is don't idolize people in sports because they will only disappoint you.
That's why I've only ever idolized one person in sports.
Bart Starr.
That's it.
I know.
And I'll never go wrong.
I've only idolized Sterling Sharp, and that's been a tremendous disappointment, too.
Mine was Mike Michalski, and I knew him in his 70s and 80s, so he couldn't disappoint me. He was my nice neighbor next door.
There you go. So now let's go to the question that you've already tried to answer, which is, what are the differences between then and now? Well, you guys just have to follow directions.
This is your topic, CD, okay? What you love to pontificate on. You love this topic, going back to Favre in 2008, so go for it.
All right. I think someone's being
snarky. But don't make fun of us for not having as much to say about it.
I love making fun. No.
I know you do.
So some of the differences I think we've really talked about, and that is, of course, the fan reaction, that there is such a war. I mean, everybody had chosen a side. With Favre, everybody had chosen a passionate side, and they were going to go and die on the hill for that quarterback. They were going to die on the hill for Aaron Rodgers, or they were going to die on the hill for Brett Favre. And obviously the ones who were Brett Favre fans were a bit more passionate. We're not feeling that. We're not feeling the dying on the hill level of, I mean, there's going to be some people that are upset if Aaron Rodgers goes, and there's going to be some people that are going to be highly critical of Jordan Love every time he throws an interception or misses a pass and say, well, we could be having Aaron Rodgers right now, you know.
You know.
But
oh yeah.
But it it's so weird that it feels like Packer Nation is just ready to say meh. That's the biggest difference.
I think the big difference is with Favre, we allowed ourselves to be gaslit up until the end that he is this, you know, sweet, folksy dude. And we were shocked and angered that the Packers would let him go. How dare you? He's such a good guy. With Rodgers, I think we were not as naive. And we watched his villain origin story evolve over the past few years, starting with the end of the McCarthy era. It's like, oh, maybe he is too big for his britches. He doesn't have a separate dressing room, but he wants to call the shots. He wants to be captain of the elevator. And I think after experiencing Favre, I think a lot of us were shell-shocked and just exhausted from the process that by the time Rodgers started phoning it in and doing ayahuasca and doing his weird shtick, we were just exhausted with it all because it became Rodgers 24/7 and not his whole thing was Rodgers Incorporated, not focused on the team. So I think apathy and experience, if you look at the older fans, like old people like us, we've been through this. We got kind of, I don't want to say hoodwinked, but we got kind of gaslit with Favre that we aren't going to let it happen a second time. And I think a lot of us were cautious as we're starting that long goodbye. It's like, okay, now it's time to go.
So summing up.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah, I think that's the point of this segment is we learned our lessons before. And I don't think Brett Favre has done a whole lot since those days to really justify the people that defended him.
No.
You know, whether it be going to the Vikings, whether it be sticking it to Ted Thompson. You know, yes, we had the one glorious moment where we welcomed him back and retired his number, yada, yada, yada.
He doesn't need to come back ever again.
Yeah, but it's really just been kind of a downhill slog. And you realize, once again, I think, as Al alluded to very well, our idols are human beings and are generally, just like all of us, flawed. So some more flawed than others. So that'll take us to the end of the third quarter. And now we're going to get to this week's Hot Pockets. Hot Pockets is the segment where you just get one last chance to get up on our soapbox and tell you whatever's on our mind. So, Kelly, we're going to start with you.
This is one of the first years I haven't watched a ton of the Combine, and I kind of wish I did. So crowd favorite Kurt Benkert, our QB3 from last year, that did a stint, I think, in Florida. No, he lives in Florida. Did a stint in San Francisco and then got let go. And somehow he ended up at the Combine. I'm not sure that was a thing, you know, veterans getting allowed to come back. He was a draft class of 2018. That seems like a million years ago in football years. But there he was. I don't know if this is a precedent for bringing people back for a second look. But nevertheless, I found it really interesting that he was invited and was allowed to kind of show his stuff to the crowd and to potential teams. It reminded me a lot of fraternity or sorority continuous open bidding. You don't hit quota. So you can kind of check the crowd for people you didn't look at the first time. It had that kind of feel of reconsideration. I don't know if this will happen again in the Combine. I'm not sure if it happened in the past, but it was kind of fun. So I hope Kurt lands somewhere, because he seems like not to worship any idols, but he seemed kind of fun. And his career is kind of fun to follow. So good luck, Kurt. And that is my Hot
Pockets. I ended up having a pretty good conversation debate on Twitter this weekend, where I kind of was lauding Eugene Robinson and how he and Leroy Butler made perhaps the best safety tandem in Packers history. For 25 years since, I have lusted to finally have two safeties that could have that same dynamic. Eugene Robinson's cover the entire back half of the defense, free safety, with allowing Butler to do the ball hawking, risk taking, playing up on the line, getting sacks, strong safety. The bad news is they've never equaled that pairing since. The worst news is that it has not been for a lack of trying. We have spent so many high draft picks. Nick Collins, Aaron Rouse, Morgan Burnett, Demarius Randall, Josh Jones, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Darnell Savage on the safety position. But now, with free agent Adrian Amos likely not to return, we could very well be rebuilding our entire safety position from scratch this offseason again. Now, depending on what load we get from the Jets, assuming that happens, I expect at least one of those first or second round picks to be on a guy who's going to be expected to start at safety on day one. We already spent first or second round picks on safeties between 2014 to 2019. I don't have anything major to add here, except for the simple fact that Eugene and Leroy were lightning in a bottle for two seasons, and I sure wish we could find that again. And that is my Hot
Pockets. Well, this past weekend, I did waste way too much time watching a bunch of future NFL players run around in their shorts, showing the world how fast and agile they are. The best show was put on by the very first day by the defensive linemen. How incredibly fast these really large humans have become is just downright scary. But anyway, now that the Combine is over, everyone is all excited about this guy or that guy who had great testing results, and the Packers have to draft them. Now, I'm all on board with drafting great athletes. And so is Goody. But in my book, it's only if they are real football players also. A guy that lives for the grind, that lives for the physicality, that lives for the moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. And that is my Hot
Pockets. Okay, so before we go, I'm looking on the script here. I could have sworn that I had put the results of our NFC-AFC championship games and Super Bowl picks, and I can't find the standings. Did someone delete those?
This is only interesting to see.
I thought that was old stuff. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's only interesting to see D'Angelo. Nobody cares.
I know. You were 2-1. I was 1-2. I don't know what Kelly was.
I think I was in between.
How could you be between 2-1 and 1-2?
I don't know. I managed
There's no in between.
I Bath did it all really, season. I think it was
Bath is really hard.
I don't care. Nobody cares. Yeah, CD, you won. Nobody cares.
He cares because he won.
Yes. You know, if you would have won, we would have cared. But yes.
If I would have won, I would have totally cared.
I actually didn't realize what that was. I thought it was like old leftover stuff. So sorry.
Well, it kind of was. It was a long time ago.
Well, yeah, it was
like
not
I said,
intentional.
Nobody cares. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying play Packer Talk Podcast. Finally, be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King, for all your ticket needs. You can find them across the field at Lambeau, across the street from Lambeau Field, or on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. I hope we have more news next time we meet. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Good night, all.
This is not silence.
Like Ukraine, they're going through like war and you're worried about, I don't want to double click on this window. That's too much
shut,
work.
Okay, shut up. We're recording.
Please.
Please do not inconvenience me.
Screw it. We're going live.
Hell hath no fury.
Oh, I missed you two guys. Okay. Are you idiots done?
Waiting for you.
Yeah, hurry up.
I wait for you chuckle farts to stop laughing.